HTXT AfriCast is sponsored by Neotel, South Africa's first converged communications network operator. Neotel, inspiring possibilities.
Good afternoon, it's Friday the 29th of August 2014 and you're listening to the HTXT AfriCast. Every Friday we'd like to take a break from our regular Talking Heads show and do something a little bit different. So I'm joined in the studio this afternoon by Charlie Fripp.
Good afternoon.
And Dave Greenway.
What's up?
And we're going to play the ZA News Tech News Quiz. ZA News Tech Quiz. What do you think it should be called? I haven't decided on a name for this yet. This is only our second attempt.
HTXT AfriQuiz.
AfriQuiz. Oh, I like it. The AfriQuiz. But then that suggests we might be going a little bit broader than just technology. Which is no bad thing. Maybe we should. The HTXT AfriQuiz. AfriTech Quiz.
Well, we don't really have tech in our site's name in the first place, so I suppose we can do whatever we want, can't we?
Fantastic. I like the idea of doing whatever we want. The rules are pretty simple. I'm going to ask you each question in turn. Person who gets the highest score at the end wins. The questions are based on news, tech news events from the last week. There's only a few of them, so we're going to race through them pretty quickly. I'll start with the eeny, meeny, miny, moe, Dave.
Bugger.
Go. Dave, when is the sixth coming?
On the 9th of September, there should be an iPhone 6. If the invitation is to be believed as a regular September Apple event, there will be an iPhone 6 announced on the 9th of September. This time, it will be at a venue that hasn't really been used by Apple a lot, that they announced the first ever Mac, if I'm not mistaken, there. It is the... I'm trying to remember now. Something with an F. I'll get it. I won't sound silly forever, I promise. The Flint Center for Performing Arts in Cupertino, which the last time they used it was Steve Jobs announcing the Mac, and they've used smaller venues ever since. So there's a theory that they're inviting more journalists than just the regular tech luminaries so that they might be something from the healthcare or
do you think this is because they've got something unusually exceptional to announce, or is it just more of the kind of moving away from the Steve Jobs minimalism and exclusivity of the Apple brand, so to speak?
Well, there's two people that have left. I mean, Steve Jobs obviously has died, but they've also
useful as a resignation statement, that one.
Yeah, wasn't bad. It's drops mic leaves life.
Two people have left.
The second one, less dramatic in her exit, was their longtime head of PR, who was basically feared across the world of technology. She was basically the person that if you ever said anything bad about Apple in the press, you never got invited to another event ever again. And she's left. So it's quite possible that they've changed who they're inviting and how they invite people.
Do you think all the execs at Apple after she left went, you know what we really should do to celebrate? A really big party. What's the biggest place you can think of to have a party? What about that place we had the
Mac thing?
Perhaps they were aiming for Flint, Michigan, you know, the entire town rather than just the stadium.
Probably not. I hear that it's difficult to control a crowd these days in those parts.
Especially when they're all iPhone obsessives jumping up and down and spilling their lattes.
Yeah, there's enough problems controlling a queue of iPhone-crazed
Apple fanboys. There's never any problems controlling Apple fanboys. They're all exceptionally well-behaved.
Yes,
they might ruffle their turtlenecks. Fantastic.
Lord.
1 point today. Congratulations. It is the sixth coming of the iPhone.
Straight into the lead.
Yeah. Actually, any idea? I'll give you a bonus point if you can tell me how many different models of iPhone there have been, because it's a lot more than six, isn't it?
So iPhone 3G, 3GS, 4, 4S, 5, 5S makes six. This will be the seventh.
You missed the 5C?
Bugger.
Oh.
It's not a real iPhone.
It's really
not. It's not a real iPhone. It's a it's a plastic cased 5.
Charlie.
I'm all ears.
For which country is ID now priceless?
Come again.
For which country is ID now priceless?
That would be Nigeria.
It would?
Yes. So I think I'm actually at odds with you on this one. because for those that don't know yet, Nigeria started to implement ID cards connected to MasterCard, right?
That's right. Apparently they've been trying to introduce a national ID card system for about 10 years now. And yesterday they finally managed it in a pilot. They call it a pilot scheme, but it involves 13 million people. So I guess they just do things on a different scale in Nigeria.
Yeah.
But President Goodluck Jonathan was the first person to receive one of the new ID cards, which is not sponsored by MasterCard, but has a MasterCard logo on it and can be used to make payments as well.
I think it's quite cool, though. I don't know. I don't really see the problem with that. Besides for the fact that obviously, you know, your ID is tied to your money, so to speak.
Apart from that minor issue of if I a single point of failure. Yeah. I see. I'm a big church and state separation guy. You know, I think the combination of civil and commercial is probably a bad idea. I guess I could. I don't like ID cards anyway, but if they're going to happen, using them for payment, for administering social security benefits may not be such a bad thing. But it's not just for that. This is actually a bank card for the Access Bank's prepayment system via MasterCard. Yeah. I find that bizarre that there's no dancing on the streets and rioting at the strange Blade Runner dystopian future it heralds.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of minimalizing my wallet, so to speak. So the more stuff that I can cram onto one card, bank card, ID card, driver's license, TV license, anything onto one card, that's great.
And that is the eventual idea of this. And again, that gives me the screaming heebie-jeebies, because what they're trying to do is to unify the government database. So basically, all of your tax records, all of your demographic records, birth and death certificates, and everything. All of your driving license records will all be stored on one database. And so there's two things there. One, from a purely practical point of view, the UK government have tried to unify databases repeatedly over the past 50 years, and every time it fails because it's a lot harder than people realise. I mean, just from a practical point of view. But from a philosophical point of view, I don't necessarily want the tax man having a direct line into my bank account. Even if I'm not breaking the law, it's a bit kind of like, you know, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Point just to bring up about that. They have a direct line into your bank account. If SARS want to take money out of your bank account, they're legally allowed to. So whether it's on your ID or not, they have your money. It's just a matter of them wanting it.
But there's even there, and again, it's ethically dubious that they can do that. But even there, they have to have the right permissions. They have to have you have to have not paid them. They have to get the order to take money out of your account and that kind of thing. It's not, you know, we just have access to it.
No, as far as I understand, they don't need an order. If you haven't paid, it is well within their rights. You then have to go and query it and fight them, even though they still have the money.
For another example, it's the same as the e-tolls. People that signed up for the e-tolls, they could sign up for a debit order, and they have access to your cash. Well, not directly to your bank account, but they can deduct it from your account willy-nilly like they see fit. That is something I would not do.
But again, that's a direct debit order, isn't it? It's not necessarily handing SANRAL the keys to your entire life, which under the Nigerian system, effectively an organisation like SANRAL would have access to everything because it's all one database.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's slightly scary, but you win a point anyway, Charlie. Congratulations. Nigeria loses, Charlie wins. That's the way this game is played. Dave.
Yes.
I'm fairly sure you're going to get this one. Who is a little girl?
Hello Kitty. Apparently, Hello Kitty is not actually a cat. She's a girl. A little girl who was born in London. And she has parents. And her first name is not Hello. It's actually Kitty.
And she does have a cat.
She does, which is called, what's it?
Charmy.
Charmy cat with two M's. Because one cannot be Charmy without a second M. But it's rubbish because Hello Kitty is actually a cat. If you don't believe me, go read the article.
I think it's amazing. I think the whiskers and the ears sort of give it away, don't they?
So
I've known many Catherines in my time, but no one that had such fine, protruding whiskers.
Well, here's the thing: is that
having said that,
after having studied Japanese for over 2 years now, I'm pretty confident that there is a lot of lost in translation between what they say and what they actually mean. Simply from it's just a weird culture. There's no other way to describe Japanese. What I think the creator was trying to say is that because Hello Kitty is an anthropomorphic cat who lives in a world of animals that walk and talk, and there are no humans in the world, that in that world she's technically a little girl, and her cat, pet cat, Charmy Kitty, is actually a cat because it walks on all fours. That's what I think they were trying to say. But I don't think you can really translate anthropomorphic really easily from Japanese to English or English to Japanese.
Oh, I think it works perfectly. It translates as hello.
Probably, yes.
At the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, does it really matter?
For a lot of people who live their lives, for all those guys who are out there who dress up as Hello Kitty, yes, it probably matters to them.
Hello Kitty's bizarre, isn't it? Because it's not one of those fads that you thought was going to come and go in the mid-90s, like Pokemon or something like that. I mean, there are still short stores in all across the world. There was one in Brighton that was a Hello Kitty store, essentially.
There's one in Hyde Park. It's a $1 billion-a-year industry.
Fantastic. I can't think of anything to compare with.
Ray-Bans, probably.
except you wouldn't want to wear Hello Kitty whilst driving. Congratulations, Dave. That's put you in the lead, 2-1. We're about halfway through the quiz, so I'm going to pass you back over to Dave for a word from our sponsors.
It's a good thing that we have sponsors because they let us do really crazy things like this every week. But we have to thank them, Neotel, our fantastic sponsor. Neotel is South Africa's first converged communications network operator. It provides a range of value-added voice, internet, and data services for enterprise, wholesale, and retail customers in Southern Africa. Powered by Neotel's high-performance fiber-optic backbone, its next-generation network challenges the status quo, making communications simpler and inspiring you to the next level. For more information, you can call 0860-NEOTEL, which is 0860-636-835, or visit neotel.co.za. Neotel, inspiring possibilities, making the HTXT AfriCast and AfriQuiz, as it happens to be today, possible, and we thank them for that.
Right, Charlie, over to you. Charlie.
I'm listening.
Where can you get second-generation advertising?
I think I might have to concede a point here. Any hints?
If I was to say 2G rather than second-generation, would that ring a bell?
Yes, that would actually. I'm hoping you're referring to Facebook's policy that they will be serving up mobile ads depending on your cell phone speed.
I am.
Damn you for giving him easier clues.
Excellent.
I had that one.
Your turn will come, don't worry.
So we all kind of know that ads are served up the same way on a mobile phone, regardless if you're on 2G, 3G, LTE, whatever you want to call it. And so Facebook decided that they're going to change the serving up of their ads depending on the speed that your smartphone's on.
I haven't looked at this story particularly well, but I presume this means if you're on a sort of edge connection or receiving Facebook via SMS, they won't try and download a picture to your phone anymore. It'll just be text ads.
Just be text. And that's not only just in Africa, but that's across the world as well. So that's quite nice. And that also kind of builds into Facebook's drive to connect or to keep developing countries connected as well, because they, a couple of years ago, came over to Africa to have a look at how the Facebook app runs on African telecommunication networks. And they actually found that it runs shockingly slow. So they redesigned.
What a surprise! I mean, they could just have picked any app out of the hat for that one, couldn't they? How do apps work on African networks? Well, they're a bit crap, really, if they're designed for 4G LTE services.
Yeah, so exactly. So they redesigned their app specifically for the African market so that it uses less data, and they're implementing the same kind of things with mobile advertising.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Yay.
Hey, Dave. Which network has been tango down twice this week?
I'm going to go with Blizzard. and the PSN. So I'm going to go with PSN for twice, but I'm going to go for Blizzard because, God damn it, I wanted to play Diablo.
It's so, like they knew, isn't it? They knew millions of people would be trying to play Diablo.
Yeah, but it was PSN that was hacked twice, as far as I remember. So there have been a bunch of people who have claimed responsibility for it back and forth over the last few days. But basically the gist of it is, once again, PlayStation Network is the one that keeps getting absolutely nailed by hackers.
I don't think they didn't actually break into the network, did they?
No, they didn't steal anything. Yeah, they just DDoSed it to death.
On a big scale, yeah.
Yeah, which is one point probably in Microsoft's favor, is that because they've got all of that Azure infrastructure, it's probably very difficult to DDoS Xbox Live into that sort of level of incapacity, whereas someone like Sony running their own servers, I mean, the servers are only for PlayStation stuff and a bit of Sony Entertainment, other things, but they're nowhere near as vast as Azure would be.
I think it was actually my fault. I'm going to confess here, because I bought my brother-in-law's old PlayStation 3 at Christmas after he bought a PlayStation 4, and I haven't used it at all for 8 months now. It's been sat in a back room gathering dust, and we finally wanted to set it up primarily as a Netflix server. For one of the rooms in our house with an old TV, and it just so happened that it was as I was trying to register a PSN account that the entire network went down and didn't come back up again for 24 hours. So I think all these people claiming responsibility, and it's a response for, I don't know, I can't remember. Somebody said it was a response for the IS army or something like that. I'll stop you playing games, that's it. Fair enough. I think all conflicts should come down to whether or not we can play games. Personally, I don't like you. I will stop you playing games for 24 hours.
My best friend has said if there is ever a war like that South Africa is participating in and they cut off the electricity, he votes to surrender. That is the line that cannot be crossed.
Speaking of wars by remote control, I saw a great story this week in the Guardian in the UK that apparently there is a super fast fibre network which now connects a town in the UK, and I forget which one because I've not got it in front of me, to Djibouti. Is a direct line, a single fibre network, specifically so that pilots can fly drones using their Xbox controllers from the American airbase there. So they have this zero latency piece of fibre that stretches right the way across Europe over to Saudi Arabia.
And all of that will go to hell with one shark, as we have seen.
The listeners who are confused by that, sharks eat fibre, apparently.
Yeah, high fibre diet.
Fantastic. Dave, you're in the lead. 3-2. Charlie, it's your final question. What do 8 out of 10 news editors prefer?
Wire copy?
They do. They love their wire copy. Can't get enough of it.
That is a story that you picked up.
It is, and I feel quite strongly about it, which is why I included it in the quiz. The benefit of being quizmaster.
So if I understand it correct, it was 8 out of 10 articles on Mail and Guardian?
Fin24, actually.
Fin24.
But I imagine, and without wanting to venture into libel territory, knowing how good newspaper lawyers tend to be, a lot of news outlets would come out with similar statistics.
Used the wire copy instead of two articles were written by journalists.
Yes, I mean, it came out of, listeners that may not be aware, that Moneyweb is currently suing Fin24 for breach of copyright over a series of 7 or 8 articles they published in 2013, I think. And as part of Moneyweb's latest submission to the High Court, they included some analysis of Fin24's output over the last year, and it included the remarkable statistic, to my mind, that 82% of stories came from Reuters, SAPA, or the AFP, or news agencies, so exactly the same stories that appeared everywhere else. It's bonkers. Absolutely bonkers.
That's crazy.
Yep. Yes, it's crazy. And what's crazier is that it takes us to the end of the quiz, and it's 3-all. So we're going to have a tie break. One final question. First person to answer correctly gets it right. So fingers on the non-existent buzzers. You'll have to make a buzzer sound and pretend you're pressing something like a buzzer to answer this. Are you ready?
Just say my name.
No, I think make a buzzer sound is better. Okay. I think purely for entertainment.
Yeah, that's.
Do we have it ready?
Yes.
What can you buy with 100 rand a month. Oh, Dave's straight in there.
Tablet from FNB for 199 rand a month from Lenovo, which is a...
99 rand a month.
Sorry, 99 rand a month.
Yeah, so you lose. Yeah. Sorry,
I still have the answer right. So Lenovo A3000 tablet. It doesn't look terrible.
Is it a good deal? You've done the numbers on this, haven't you?
I have. So it's a bit more expensive than its market value. It's a 1,800 rand tablet, so it works out to about 600 rand more expensive over the 24 months. But, you know, FNB always does this whole, you know, 0% interest and all that kind of thing. So you'd think that they are making some money. But you do get a 2-year collect and return warranty, as opposed to the regular 1-year warranty that you get, and you get a free cover, which isn't free apparently because it's built into the price and all that. But as far as 100 rand a month goes, I mean, you know, to get a tablet and then to be able to do all of your banking and not have to go into a branch and all of that kind of stuff, it's a 3G-enabled tablet. The amount of stuff you can do with that. And then FNB also offer, as part of the whole rewards program, you get anywhere from 100 to 500 meg of free data a month on a Cell C SIM card, which would come with it. So 3G tablet plus free data, it's a really, really good deal, actually, when you think of it. Like for a household that doesn't have access to stuff or to the internet at all, that's a really good start.
Is it a good tablet?
It's not bad. So it's never going to compare to the likes of a Nexus 7 or an iPad mini or anything like that. It's a MediaTek processor, which aren't renowned for their heavy lifting abilities. And it's a 1024 by 600 resolution display, so not the greatest. But it is still an IPS display, which means the colors aren't going to wash out and it's not going to look terrible if you're, you know, not staring directly into it. It does have a 3,500 milliamp hour battery, so you should get decent. Look, it's decent. I mean, for a 2,000 rand tablet, it's a very good tablet. And it's from Lenovo, which, you know, they don't generally make stupid things. They're actually very good at making stuff these days. So I think it's good value for money. I think it's very good value, actually.
Fantastic. I might just run out and buy one.
You can buy a lot of them.
I can buy
at 100 rand a month each. It's basically, I won't go to a movie, I'll buy a tablet.
Oh, you've clearly not seen my paycheck. I couldn't buy that many of them, trust me. which brings us to the end of this week's, as it shall henceforth be known, HTXT AfriQuiz. Thank you very much for that, Dave. Final scores, any guesses?
Dave wins.
I don't care.
Dave does win. He does win. Dave went ahead. It's 4 points to Dave. And Charlie, 3 points to you. So, Dave, you get to be this week's champion. Charlie, you are this week's loser. Both of you win the prize of going back to work and writing more copy now. thank you very much for listening. I've been Adam Oxford. I've been joined in the studio by Dave Greenway.
Thank you.
And Charlie.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be back again on Monday. Goodbye.
Yep.
The HTXT AfriCast is sponsored by Neotel, South Africa's first converged communications network operator. Neotel, inspiring possibilities.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.